Welcome to Design Biz Survival Guide, a podcast about life and business for interior design professionals. My name is Rick Campos, and this podcast is my response to a design community eager to support, share, and inspire one another. We all know that some things simply cannot be taught in a classroom. I believe that our number one resource for information and inspiration is our peers. Join me as I sit down with industry professionals from across the country to discuss their secret to survival in the business of design. This podcast episode is sponsored by Perch, the design community's premier resource for appliances, decorative plumbing, and outdoor brands. Perch is dedicated to quality, service, and a heightened showroom experience, making them the preferred choice among architects, builders, and designers just like you. With locations in Los Angeles, Orange County, Palm Springs, and San Diego, their interactive showroom experience must be seen to believe. Fully functional displays and a demo kitchen featuring the industry's top brands provides the ultimate test drive for design enthusiasts. As a trade professional, you're eligible for their exclusive rewards program, Perch Premier, where you'll earn credits for every purchase of appliances, plumbing, hardware, and outdoor kitchens. This program is loaded with perks and benefits, so sign up today. Tell them you heard about Perch Premier on Design Biz Survival Guide. Will you be joining us for Design Biz Retreat this fall? This exclusive gathering of design visionaries and industry experts combines the business of design and the value of community to deliver a two-day experience you don't want to miss. Visit our website for all the details and bios on our featured speakers. This opportunity is limited to 24 design professionals and only a few seats remain. So register now and be a part of the design community's most anticipated business and personal development event of the year. Today, we welcome Susan Thiel of Susan Thiel Design to the podcast. Susan launched her full-service interior design business in 2008, which specializes in new construction and major remodels. In this episode, we discuss Susan's decision to transition her design business from a traditional office space to Orange County's premier co-working space exclusively for interior design professionals, Studio 88. Susan also shares her perspective on community, mentorship, and paying it forward. Let's get started. All right. Well, Susan, welcome to the podcast. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. It's a pleasure. I'm really honored.
Yeah, it's so great to have you. And here we are back at wonderful Studio 88, which is an incredible co-working space exclusively for design professionals. And we're going to talk about that more. Okay. But let's talk about you a little bit. Tell us about yourself.
Well, I grew up in Illinois and moved out. My parents moved out to San Francisco Bay Area when I was in grade school. I currently live with my husband and two grown daughters in Dana Point. And I have two dogs, a cocker and a pug.
Aww.
And we just love Dana Point. So being by the ocean and all of that. So That's a little bit about me.
Yeah, Dana Point's beautiful.
Yeah, no.
We spent a lot of time there in the last few years. We did quite a few houses down at the Strand.
So. Yeah. No, it's gorgeous.
A beautiful area. Cool. And so then how long have you been in design?
So I've been in design about 10 years, a little more than that, actually. It's 2009. I graduated from the Art Institute with a BS in interior design. I grew up... my mom was extremely creative. She was a fashion designer, wedding dress designer, started building homes.
Oh,
then
wow.
She did showcase houses in the San Francisco Bay Area. So I kind of like grew up with all this creativity, and it was second nature to me.
Yeah.
And honestly, I kind of pushed it aside because I looked at this woman. I thought, oh my gosh, she's so talented. There's no way. Uh-huh. So here I go into corporate sales. And there's no creativity in corporate.
No, none whatsoever.
So you follow your marching orders, and it was excruciating for me. And right. So I left corporate and I went back to school.
Awesome.
And I just went, this is kind of my nature. I want to do my own thing, start my own business. And this is everything I know.
Were you torn between fashion and interior design because you were exposed to both?
you know, there's elements of fashion that's pretty cool because it's kind of contained in one outfit, right? Oh, yeah. Whereas in a house, you've got, oh my gosh, all these pieces, construction, this and this. But, you know, I love construction.
Yeah.
I also have a contractor's license. So I love the wood, the paint. I mean, just the mechanics of it, working with all the trades to get this vision accomplished. I just absolutely love it. It's awesome. Just very energizing for me. And I don't know, it's my home.
So you have a contractor's license. So I'm assuming that like your typical project is probably new construction or major remodel. That's kind of your thing.
Yeah, so I specialize in what I seem to gravitate towards is whole house remodels. Mm-hmm. So creating a vision for a house already existing. I've also do, you know, custom full house builds, you mm-hmm. know, starting from fresh. But a lot of the times we take a house already there and I create a rendering or a vision and a model of the house and go from there.
So I only know a couple of designers who have contractor's license. What prompted you to take that extra step and do that? Was it an interest in understanding the construction process more? Was there another motive? I'm really curious.
You know, I had a dream. I thought, gosh, you know, I was working on all these projects and I was basically a project manager. And so I was in the trenches. I learned so much in the trenches about construction. And I thought, gosh, well, I'm pretty much working with everybody anyway.
Right.
Why don't I just, you know, see if I can manage, you know, be a contractor and do all that. So I passed the test and I tried a couple projects and then I realized, wow, you know, general contracting is a whole nother element. Yeah. I mean, you know, cracking a whip on a bunch of men is not really my forte. So, you know, I kind of went, you know, that's okay, but I don't take that as a misstep by any means. I think the contractors I work with understand that I have an understanding of construction and I appreciate what they do and I understand the mechanics of it. So I'll let it be and hopefully that makes me a better designer.
I think that was a great move on your part. And you know, you did it, you tried it.
Yeah.
You know, you tried to navigate all of those trades and really kind of dive into that process. And now you really know what it's like. And it does make you more relatable on a job site for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And, you know, often most of my referrals come from contractors.
Really?
Because they see the benefit of what, when I present a design package, it actually helps them bid the job. It helps them finish the job without mistakes and all these. Mm-hmm. And it also streamlines the discussion with the client.
Right.
So I'm having those discussions with the client. The contractor doesn't have to.
Mm-hmm.
So it's working out well.
Yeah. I just talked to another designer who really invested a lot of time in understanding the construction process, because I'm sure a lot of designers that listen to this podcast are thinking the same thing. And I thought it too when we were on the job site, like, why aren't we just running this ourselves? We're here all the time. We're answering all the questions. Yeah. But you know, it is next level. But I'm a big advocate in continued education and really kind of always trying to better yourself and improve yourself and learn something new, even if you don't want to necessarily, you know, be a project manager.
Right, right.
If you find yourself working on lots of construction jobs, it's kind of like, it's the right thing to do.
I mean, it made sense, you know, but like I said, it's a different job skill.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a lot of management of trades. So I kind of took an assessment of myself and I said, do I want to be managing trades or do I want to be designing?
Right. Made you love design a whole lot more, right?
Yeah. So I let that one go.
That's great. Susan, how big is your team? Are you like a one-woman show? Do you have a team of people?
So I do have an assistant right now. I did have a couple assistants prior. And so that's kind of, I'd love to share that about my transition into Studio
ABA. I'm very curious,
and why that happened. So I actually started out freelancing drawing. Mm-hmm. So I was drawing for cabinet makers, other designers, developers, and I started to work on these huge projects. So I had to hire staff. So I hired a couple assistants, and then just as design, the phases, you know, those big, huge homes, I went through a low phase, and I had to let my assistants go. My office was too big, and I really needed to kind of transition my business and kind of rethink about what I was doing. And also I realized, gosh, I've been on this train of just busy, busy, busy that I've never actually networked in my own community.
Uh-huh.
So when I went to that level, I started realizing I really need to network. Uh-huh. And I need to get out of my own bubble and reach out. And I think it was, I saw an Instagram of Studio 88.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, you know, they have networking events. There's other designers in this space. My introverted self will be forced to, you know,
kind of
get out of my bubble a little bit.
Yeah.
And it just really intrigued me. So that was kind of how I transitioned from my own space into this co-working space at Studio 88.
Right. I think a lot of designers right now are having a similar conversation in their mind and with themselves, especially after 2020. I mean, a lot of designers had time to really kind of look inward on themselves and their business.
Yeah.
And are probably exploring, you know, other ways to achieve their business goals. You know, everything from client acquisition and their business model all the way to the roof over their head.
Right.
You know, and so I do know of some designers who have dabbled in the co-working space, but more like a WeWork situation.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of benefits to that as well, because mm-hmm. there's diversity within those spaces. But what I think it's interesting about Studio 88 is that it is exclusively for design professionals. So like you said, you're surrounding yourself with other designers.
Mm-hmm.
You're in the place where the networking happens. And so it's like a personal and business development as well.
No, I love it. I mean, I come into the office. It's a beautiful environment. I see, I mean, they have, not only do they do models, model homes, but they mm-hmm. also do commercials. So I get to kind of see, you know, step in and see, oh, look at what they're working on. That's
right.
Cool. They're using those fabrics. And they have this resource library that is much larger than a resource library that I could ever have on my own. So I've got not residential, but also commercial. And so they have all the reps coming in for all those, you know, just all the reps come in. So I get
right.
to be part of that. And just instead of, you know, having to schedule time to go to another office space to meet a rep or something like that, they're all here. So
yeah.
I just sneak out of my office, see a presentation.
How nice
go
is
back.
That to look at a calendar and see
yeah.
who's coming and say, oh, I'm going to make myself available for that. And
yeah.
oh, I'm not available for that, instead of actually being the one making the appointments. I mean, just
yeah.
that little simple example is probably one of many that you were able to alleviate yourself from by transitioning into a working environment like this.
Yeah, I don't need to take all the sales reps calls and all those meetings. They already have the meetings set up, and if I want to attend, I can attend.
That's perfect.
If I'm too busy, it's okay.
Right, right.
So I love that portion too.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, I mean, having the resource library here, it just saves me a huge amount of time.
Right.
Because I can pull together a house right here, including fabrics, wallpaper, tile, flooring, everything. I can do that right here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty nice.
How did it affect your interaction with your clients? Has it improved? I would imagine it has, because I'm trying to think, like, I mean, I use the space because I don't have a conference room. We're sitting in a beautiful conference room right now.
Mm-hmm.
So would you say that you have more amenities here than you had before at your previous office?
By all means.
Yeah.
So, I mean, here not only is it beautiful, there's a large conference room, a small conference room, there's snacks and, you know, work tables, there's staff you can use. But, you know, I had my other office, and it's like the lobby was, you know, decorated in 1980. And it's kind of hard as a designer inviting your clients up and going, yeah, well, I personally am not going to decorate the lobby.
Right.
But it's nice. All my clients come in here and they're like, what a cool space.
It's a space designed
yeah.
by designers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, come on, it doesn't get much better than this.
Yeah. So I think there's an element of professionalism. You know, I have this great space I can use, and I can take them into a large conference room. I can put my presentation up on a huge screen.
Yeah, that conference room is fancy. I like that one.
Yeah, yeah, it's really nice. So it just works really well for me.
So have you had an opportunity to network with other designers here? Like, what are some of the ways that being in a co-work space helped you, you know, maybe with your business model, with your contract, with the, with any decisions related to your business by having other designers kind of around you. Has that helped you?
Well, I'm letting the networking kind of, you know, I moved here in December of 2019. And so COVID kind of took their networking.
It's been a little quiet here this last year, I'm sure.
Events away.
Good point.
But I mean, it's been a huge blessing just talking with other designers. And I mean, Chris has been a great mentor to me as well. She's always been available to, you know, if I have questions about my business model, she's been very open and sharing her business practices with me, which has been tremendous.
I mean, that's got to be nice because, well, I'm big on networking and I'm big on community for that reason, because, you know, we all do it different. Every design business is different. Right. Every entrepreneur runs their business differently. But at the end of the day, it is one industry, but it's just kind of all over the place. And you need people to bounce ideas off of, and to just kind of, you need these sounding boards around you. And sometimes when you're in your own office by yourself, you just don't have that. And so to be around, to be in an environment where you can actually have those conversations has to be so valuable.
Oh, it was huge. Yeah. She shared with me her contracts.
Right.
You know, and that means a lot, because I realized, wow, I'm not charging enough.
I think we've all had that moment.
Yeah. So huge help.
Yeah, for sure. That's awesome. So you mentioned that, you know, you have a small team, you have an assistant. Before you came here, did you do a lot of outsourcing, and do you still do outsourcing from here? Like, what has kept you from expanding the business to multiple employees? And the reason I ask that question is because I think a lot of people are wondering, do I bring back all of these people again that maybe they had to let go over 2020? Or do they keep it small and focus on outsourcing, which is a big buzzword right now in the design community?
So I started as a one-man marching band, and I can do it. It's a lot of work.
It is.
So doing your own CAD, I've always done all of it by myself. And hiring, that's an experience, but there's a lot of training involved. So that was also a draw to this environment. I mean, there's staff here that have CAD experience. They're experts in CAD. They could do SketchUp for you. I haven't asked for that yet, but there's so many services that they are well, you know, Chris has well-groomed all of her staff.
Sure.
I don't have to train, and they know what to do. So I've used their services before to outsource CAD and then also purchasing.
Huge.
So, yeah, so all of that, it's kind of nice. It's almost like, I don't know if a safety net is the right word, but it just makes me feel comfortable that if I got into a place that I had to hire out, I could hire them.
Right. It's nice to have options.
Right, right. And then, you know, I don't need to worry about, oh gosh, I don't have the business at the moment.
Right.
And that, you know, that's pretty stressful, but I think it's great. I mean, it's nice. So outsourcing, it's going to be the future. I mean,
I think so. I really do.
The computer programs are getting so sophisticated. I mean, I've been using the same program for 10 years. I can't imagine starting over and with new programs and all of that. So
yeah,
it's interesting what the future will bring. It's either going to be easier for a designer to do everything on their own or harder, and you're just going to have to outsource.
Exactly. And I don't think there's a right or wrong answer either.
Yeah.
Because I think, you know, as a business owner, it really kind of comes down to personality sometimes with regards to team size, because, you know, some of us are just not natural leaders, and it's important to know that up front. And so those type of business owners probably wouldn't be doing themselves a huge favor by having a big team, and should rely on outsourcing. But I know that there's plenty of designers out there that love that collaborative aspect, and they want a team of 10. It's like their big dream, and that's fine. I think it's important now that we have options, you know?
Yeah, I'm not sure if I want a team of 10.
Yeah.
You know, I kind of like being a smaller business, and I think that's okay.
Right.
And, you know, right now I can use their staff. I have an assistant now. Maybe I'll have a couple more, but I can still be in this space.
You can contract and expand here.
Yes.
Which is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I actually started out at an open desk. Now I have a closed office.
Oh.
So my assistant can come in there and work with me.
Right.
And it's private. I can bring in clients and they get, so it just works.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they'd have to put me in an office with the door for sure. Cause I'm messy. I don't know if I'd last here. I don't think I'd last a week.
Yeah. The closed door does help. I'm not.
You have to be tidy here.
Yes, that's true.
Well, Susan, we do have signature questions that I ask every designer.
Okay.
The first being, what would you say is the secret to your survival? Which really means kind of like, what's the secret to your success?
Mm-hmm. I think it's just like showing up. I mean, every time you have these opportunities and you just have to be a little bit fearless and just show up.
Oh, yeah.
And then, you know, in construction and design, there's always, we're always stretching the boundaries, right? That's our job, is to create things that haven't been made before.
Mm-hmm.
And so with that, there's always things that don't happen as you planned. You know, you can plan and draw all day long, and then you hit the construction site and you're like, oh, I didn't see that that part.
little pivots, we like to call them.
And I always embrace those moments, because on the other side of that frustration is always a better design.
Mm-hmm.
Always.
Funny how that works, right?
Yeah. And I think you just have to be open to that and appreciate that's part of the process.
Right. And you make a good point. Like, you do have to show up. You do have to engage in the process. It's your job and responsibility to your client and to yourself and to your business, to everyone, to show up and be engaged.
Right.
And that's kind of where that balance comes in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's why I'm glad that we're talking about, you know, office solutions and co-working spaces, because those decisions help contribute to your availability to show up for the things that are really, really important to the success of your business.
No, it's nice having this here. And yes, I can go to the job sites. And if I need to, I can have my assistant working here. I can have her, Chris's staff working for me. So it's just, it works out nice.
Anything we can do to move something from the, you know, frustration list to the easy list.
Yes.
And make yourself more available for the creative.
Yes.
I mean, that's the goal at the end of the day.
I also really try and exceed expectations of my clients. So I always try and deliver a little bit more. So even in our contract, I might say, hey, I include this, but hey, you know, I always do more.
Right.
You know, I always give them another rendering, or I always make a change. You know, I'm just a little bit flexible like that. But I really want my clients to be happy and enjoy the process and also appreciate the service.
Good point. You want them to enjoy the process. And I'm a big fan of under-promising and over-delivering.
Yes.
I like that. And there's nothing wrong with giving a little. There's everything wrong with them taking a little. So again, going back to that
balance
of things. Yeah.
And that is true. And that is something that I, you know, have learned.
Uh-huh.
Boundaries. There are boundaries
for
we have
sure.
to set, because text set Saturday at 10 o'clock.
Oh my gosh.
But you know, Chris really helped me with that. And, you know, as far as, you know, kind of going over one of her contracts, she's like, you need to protect yourself.
Yeah.
You need to have in your contract something where people can't just run you ragged.
Right.
And you have to kind of outline it. And I really appreciated that,
because sure.
it made it okay. It's like, no, this is how I work.
You're like, really? I can ask this?
Yeah. So I think that was important. I appreciated that.
And the first time you revised your contract and implemented those, no resistance?
No. And it's a relief.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, it's a relief, because those expectations are out there.
Mm-hmm. They're
so
in writing.
We don't have to have the discussion about returning an item that you just don't like, but it's already been purchased.
Correct.
Yeah. So we don't have to have certain discussions. So I absolutely love it.
Yeah. And if you have to have that conversation, you have a document to back you up that you both agreed to from the beginning.
Yes.
Very important.
No, I have learned that. You know, funny how many years it takes you to learn.
So this is probably a good segue to the next question, which is, what is the one thing you know now that you wish you knew then when you started in the business of design?
Oh, gosh. You know, I wish I reached out to people more.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I asked for a mentor, I wish that I had had my processes in place in the beginning. So it's really easy. I wouldn't say it's easy, but you can manage your business with, you know, your 1 to 4 jobs. But when you get 10 to 12, you better get your processes in check.
Oh,
because that's where it can go haywire. So that's what I really wish I thought. I wish I reached out. I wish I asked for a mentor and somebody helped me with my processes at the get-go.
Right, right.
You know, it would have alleviated a lot of pain.
Because once you go from that place of I can do it all to I can't do it all anymore.
Yes.
You can't delegate unless it's organized.
Exactly. That's, you have to have the processes.
So important. And you can't even just hire someone and say, well, I'll hire someone to do it. Because guess what? They're going to show up and they need instructions.
And it's hard to get all of this in your brain and explain it all.
Right.
Yeah. So that is a challenge. That's a challenge.
Right.
And so the processes do help you do that. So
absolutely.
I'm fine-tuning this.
Yes. I've kind of created a business on that.
Yes. Well, we'll have to talk about that.
But I like talking to designers and saying, you know, you really don't have to pay me. Just, you know, whatever you're doing.
Yeah.
Really dig into it. Write it down. Document it. Make sure it works. After a while, you know, if it works time and time again, then you do have a process in place and then you can pass that off and delegate that. But until you have that, you know, you're back to why am I doing everything myself? How would you say you pay it forward in the design community?
Well, I mean, I've volunteered with Habitat before. I've kind of opened myself to mentoring, you know, with my alumni school. But I think one story that I think that's important is, you know, I work with different trades and I was working with, you know, a cabinet maker and, you know, his daughter was doing all the drawings and she was doing these hand drawings. And I was like, oh, you poor thing.
Oh, wow.
with all the changes with cabinetry and here she was sketching and she was going to the design school and she was sketching every single elevation. And I thought,
wow,
you poor thing.
Yeah.
So I reached out to her father and I asked if she would be interested if I could help her with my CAD program and I'd be willing to help her and she could maybe help me a little bit.
Yeah.
So that's who my assistant is right now.
Oh,
and
my
it's
gosh.
Great. So I've taught her my program and now she's, and I know her goal in business is to work and have her own business with her father.
Right.
And so she's starting to do all the CAD elevations and the renderings and all that for her father, which I think is just the coolest thing. And it gives me so much joy to be a part of that.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. For sure. So, what a game changer.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, yes, we all have to learn how to draw in design school, but at some point you need to cross over to, you know, to technology.
And
for someone like you who has experience and knows the program and you already have a working relationship to say, let me help me.
Because I remember in design school, I mean, AutoCAD, there were a lot of tears in that class.
Oh my gosh, don't get me started.
So if you had somebody sitting here and let me just kind of show you the easier way.
Yeah.
You know, I know how valuable that would have been to me. So I think just reaching out, I think, you know, I have received so much joy out of this experience that I look for a new one. You know, if I meet somebody else, if I can help them. I'd love to do that.
It's so funny. So many design professionals, at least the ones that I surround myself with, and maybe it has to do with this podcast, because if you're sitting here having this conversation with me, you're already interested in sharing information and teaching people.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like everyone that I talk to has like this innate teaching quality within them. And many designers say one of the things they would love to do someday is teach, which I think is awesome.
It would be fun.
I just think we have it in us. It's part of the creative personality, maybe.
Well, don't we have to do that with our clients? I mean, all the time. So, you know, we're always educating. Well, this is the materials. This is the fabrics. This is how it works together. This is what you do if there's a stain. This is, you know, all these things. So we're always educating.
You make a very good point. And I actually always refer to it as convincing. But then I ultimately realized what we're really doing is educating and informing. But sometimes it feels like you're convincing.
Yeah that's true.
Thanks so much, Susan. I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to us. How can we learn more about you? What is your website? And are you on Instagram?
Of Of course. You have to be nowadays. Susan Thiel Design.
Great.
Is my Instagram handle, and then SusanThielDesign.com.
Easy enough. We'll put a link in the in the episode as well.
Thank you, Rick. It's a pleasure.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure. This has been fun.
Thank you.
So many great takeaways from my conversation with Susan. For starters, you know how I'm always saying to keep exploring the business of design? Well, Susan's example of becoming a licensed contractor as a way to better understand the big picture of design and construction is one that I hope many of you recognize. There are so many forms of continued education out there that can really contribute to your design business and services. So think outside of the box and never stop exploring and learning. After an eye-opening 2020, I know that many design professionals are open to new and innovative ways to running their business. I thought this conversation with Susan was timely and informative as it relates to the trending concept of co-working spaces. As we heard, the benefits range from elevating your brand image and improving the client experience to access to professional in-house resources, as well as a network of fellow designers and even mentors. This is community, and I am on board. If you love this podcast episode, please share with a friend or colleague. If you're listening on iTunes, please take a moment to leave a review. That really helps boost our visibility on the platform to reach more design professionals just like you. Thanks for joining us. And until next time, be safe, be kind, and get out there and inspire.